chapter 1 this morning may be where I begin. For the past 11 Sundays, this will make 12, I've been speaking about the fact that God chose a people. We first looked at election in some detail. Then we looked at predestination in some detail. Then we looked at being made alive by God. That is the dead, spiritually dead sinner being made alive by God. We looked at that. We also looked at and are still on conversion. Okay? And remember what James wrote, of his own will begetty us with the word of truth. But begat us unto what? That's the whole thing.
Exactly.
You hear people, and some of them, sometimes I get kind of tickled at them, sometimes I get mad at them. I guess it just matters what kind of mood I'm in when I hear it. You need to get born again. I'm pretty ignorant. I mean, I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack. But, you know, first of all, you can't get born again. And secondly, it's not born again. You know, I realize my English is not very proper, but some of these people, and let me tell you, they have an ignorance that is just beyond belief.
That's true.
And it's not just the ignorance of the English language. They have an ignorance of the truth of God. Most people think, well, we're begotten of God to do this or do that. But here it's kind of summed up this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, basically verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That is what we are begotten unto. That is the fellowship of God's Son, that is the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is redundant. People said it. I've said it, but I want to say it over and over again. Jesus Christ is not your Savior. That's not the proper way to state it. A lot of people talk about Jesus Christ being their Savior or having Jesus as their Savior, but then they go on to say that men who have Him as their Savior should also have Him as their Lord.
Oh, yeah.
But Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
That's primary. That's the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that what it says?
No, sir.
No. It says the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And if all a person has is a Savior, and they don't have a Lord, they don't have any salvation.
Amen. That's right.
It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Most religious people don't care about Jesus Christ. He's just another part of the religious puzzle.
Exactly.
Most people, when you talk to them, what are they talking about? They talk about the Sunday school.
Oh, yeah.
They talk about the new teacher they have and how great or poor they are.
Yeah.
They talk about the choir or the singing. Mm-hmm. They talk about all of the activities that they have going on.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when you talk to most people, certainly not everyone, but basically, when you talk to most people, you get the idea that their church, put that in quotes, is like a country club.
Yep.
The only thing they don't have is golf and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only thing they don't have. And they go out somewhere else to get that. No, salvation, fellowship, all of this being begotten by the will of God through the word of truth is unto the fellowship of God's Son. And let me just be plain. This is not meant to be mean, but it will be judgmental. Okay? It will be judgmental, but it will be based upon the truth. A person who has no interest in the person and work of Jesus Christ does not know God. It's just that simple. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If Jesus Christ is not the most important thing in my life, I do not know Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's right.
Jesus Christ is not second to anything.
Exactly.
Somebody says, well, this comes first. I think I talked one to Mason, and you and I have talked, or maybe it was me and Joe. I don't know. I talked to so many people yesterday. I forget who I talked to. Or who I said what to, I should say. I heard a fellow the other day, he said, the Lord comes first, his wife comes second. How'd that work? Lord come first, his wife comes second, his children come third, his music come fourth, and his job come fifth. It was something like that. And he got them all laid out in the line. But I'm here to say that when I go to my work, my place of employment, we are to, when you go to your place of employment, whatever you do, we're to do what? As unto the Lord. Not as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ.
Yes, sir.
You see, I don't have to pick and choose, well, which one's most important? It's all important if it's to the glory of Christ.
Yeah.
If it's the honor of his gospel. Let me go on to say, people who do not support the gospel don't love the gospel.
Yeah.
Period.
That's it.
Period. I mean, it's that simple. What you love, you're willing to expend time and effort and money toward it.
Yes, sir.
Right? If you love something, that's what you'll do.
Right.
If you don't love it, you'll make up excuses or you'll find reasons not to do this or not to do that. You see, Jesus Christ is central to everything.
Yeah.
What is it? The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians, and you can read, I can't quote this, but this is what he says concerning Christ. It said in verse 20, the last part, it said he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, again, I say, people say, make Jesus your Lord. The problem with that is we can't make him anything. We're not the creator. He is. We don't make him anything. Scripture says God made him to be both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
God did this. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be what? The head over all things to the what? To the church. Now, that doesn't mean this.
Yeah.
That means us.
Amen.
He is head over us.
Amen.
Most people I know of, when again I say it's about the same thing, but most people I know of, when they sit down, they do not talk about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They may talk about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They may talk about winning souls. They may talk about the importance of serving God or good works. And all of these things in their proper place and proper perspective, with the exception of soul winning, I don't even like the phrase. But nevertheless, there is a place to where we are to set forth the gospel before men and women. But yet all of these things have their proper place and their proper perspective. But they are all what? Under Christ. All of these things. According to what the Apostle Paul said. Now, this is, to me, one of the most gripping passages where Paul speaks about the person and work of Jesus Christ in a purely personal way. Not simply in some mere theological way or as it's something just out here, but as it's something that's real. And that's Philippians chapter 3. Listen to what he says. For the sake of time, I'll begin in verse 7. Now, I happen to believe Paul means this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Not just because, Jay, I'm persuaded this was inspired of the Spirit of God, but I believe Paul truly means this.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what he says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Amen.
Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of what? Of Christ Jesus my Lord.
Amen.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. That's pretty serious language, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And do count them but dung that I may win Christ.
Yes.
Sounds like to me Christ is quite important,
yeah.
Right? And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Not just, and I shouldn't even say just, it is not faith in Christ. You see that? It is through the, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. And don't ever let us switch that around.
Yeah.
It's not of faith by God. It's by God. Or I'm saying it wrong. It's not by God of faith. It is of God by faith.
Yes, sir.
Most people actually think, and I believe I mentioned this last week, most people actually think that they are righteous in God's sight by the act of faith. And that's just not so.
You're right. Amen.
We are righteous in God's sight through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it is, that he, that is Christ, has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And this is something that some people just, they cannot ever grasp. It's not that, well, I believe God, therefore I'm righteous. Mm-mm. No, that's just not so. I believe God, and Christ is my righteousness.
Amen.
That's the truth. This is the truth of Scripture. Paul goes on. Look at what he says. That I may know him. Wait a minute. Didn't Paul already know him? Huh? But see, this thing is consuming.
Yes,
when God begets us of his own will through the word of truth, you cannot get away from a desire toward the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you can, you weren't born of God.
Amen.
You weren't born of God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, or if I may lay hold of, that's what he's talking about, if I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's everything. Right? That's everything. I mean, that's family. That's friends, put that in quotes. Huh? That's job. It may be that one day God puts us, or you or me, to the test. Some of us he has put to the test. And it has been, you will either stand by me or you will depart from me. One or the other.
Yes, sir.
You will stand by me and my son and my gospel. That's what God's saying. Or you're going to take off the family because you can't handle this. It's too tough.
Yeah.
It's best just to run and get away from it. Somebody says, well, can they really run and get away from it? Yeah, they can. They can run and get away from it. But if you've been born of God, you can't.
That's it.
The harder you run, the more you find out God's right there with you all the time.
That's exactly.
The more you try to forget the gospel, the more he reminds you of it. The more you try to just make your, well, I just need a little peace in my mind for a while. I need to quit thinking about this and that. You know what? You start thinking about it more. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. And he said, reaching forth unto those things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now look, is this just how Paul feels? Is this maybe just some preferred state? This is kind of like this is the dream spot to get to. Is that what he's talking about? No, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded.
Amen.
You see that?
Right.
Paul ain't saying this is just how I feel.
Yeah.
He said all of God's people are to feel this way.
Right.
Right? Now look, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, well, I hope things go well for you. Is that what he says?
Exactly.
Not if you're a child of God, huh? Look, if in anything you'd be otherwise minded, God might show you this. That ain't what it says. Here's one of them hard shells. You remember them hard shells? God shall reveal even this unto you. So if you never see it, you never had it.
That's it.
If you can get away from it, you never was near it anyway. It's like I mentioned the other day, it's amazing. We have to be made alive before we realize how dead we are.
Yeah.
You know? And let me tell you, God has to teach you how important Christ is before you realize how much you do really love Him.
Yeah.
You know that? And God will bring hardships your way. And Scripture says that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor. Or it may say glory. But anyway, it's to be found there. Still existing. Still believing. Still serving. Still desiring. Still loving. Still trusting Jesus Christ no matter what. Some people can't handle it. They have a faith. When that faith's tried, what's it do? David, it fizzles under the fire.
Right.
And they've got nothing else. They've got nothing any longer, Joe, to join them to this they once claimed. Therefore, there's no connection anymore. And they can easily walk away. Usually when they walk away, you know what they're doing? They don't have the audacity, they don't have the honesty to say, you know what? I don't believe that, and I don't like it. I can't take this anymore. You know what they start doing? They have the audacity to turn around and start pointing the finger at us. If it wasn't for that one, or those two, or those three, or that group, or that person, if it wasn't for them, I'd have been all right. No, your problem is your own wicked depravity and you hate God.
Yes, sir.
That's your problem. You see, there's not a difficult situation that could come our way that could affect us if we were truly perfect. Right? If we were truly righteous, we have an example of this, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
The reason these troubles affect us so much is because we are so fallen. There is that part of us that loves this world more than anything else.
You're right. That's it.
There's that part of us that loves this world, and you know what? We're never told to kill that. The Scripture doesn't tell us to kill the flesh, because you can't do it. You know that?
Yeah.
But you know what it does tell us to do? To mortify your members.
Amen.
Mortify the acts, the deeds of the flesh.
Yes,
you can't kill the flesh, but you sure can hack away at its deeds, its members, its appendages. Those things that manifest themselves. And it gives us a list.
Yeah.
Right? They're defined for us. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, drunkenness, lying, stealing, you know? All of these things. It doesn't say, well, a thief ought to just stop being a thief. Once you're a thief, bless God, you always won. Right? You can't ever take that. If you steal something, you're a thief. It's a done deal. You're a thief. That'll never change. David, you can't give it back. You still stole it even if you give it back. Right? You see, it's the whole thing. There is no changing what we are.
Exactly.
And I know some people say, well, I'm not a thief. Yeah, you are. You try to steal God's glory.
Yes, sir.
Try to take it to yourself.
Amen.
Trying to rob God, the only one who's due glory and honor. No, Paul said, listen, God shall reveal even this unto you.
Amen.
Nevertheless, Paul goes on to say, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. You see there? Now, here's what's amazing. As I thought on this, he uses this phrase, mind, twice here. At least twice here. He said, let us mind the same thing. Now here we know, mind me. You know, you ever said that to the kids or whatever? You need to mind me, you know? That's not what he's talking about. Then when he said, let us mind the same thing. You know what he's talking about? To think upon this. To dwell upon this, to give great attention to.
Yes.
As Luke writes of Lydia, I'll mention her again, Acts chapter 16, verse 14. It says that she worshiped God.
Yep.
It says, whose heart the Lord opened,
yes,
right?
Sir.
But open for what reason?
Yeah.
Right? For what reason? But he opened what? That she attended unto. She attended unto the things that were spoken by Paul.
That's right.
This means to hold the mind towards, to pay attention to be cautious about, and to apply oneself to adhere to.
Yes.
And here's the way we ought to think. Okay? I'm not saying we always think that way, but here's the way we ought to think. If my whole family rejects Christ, I will not do so.
Amen.
Right? If the assembly of which I'm a member, if that whole assembly turns against the truth of Christ, I dare not do so.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
If it comes between my job and standing for the truth of the person and work of Christ, what should we be mindful toward?
Yeah.
Christ.
Amen.
Christ. It's amazing to me. I mean, here's like I said, you know, you got people that got this thing on their list, music's above their job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about, this guy? Job was like fifth. Music was fourth. Let me tell you something, music ain't that important.
So.
Now, it might be to him, but it ain't that important. But one thing is more important than anything else. That's the truth of Christ.
Amen, sir.
Look what he says. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye father followers together of me. Mm-hmm. And mark. You see that?
Yeah.
And mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I looked up that word there, mark, you know what it means? It means to take aim at. To put under a scope. That's what it means.
Amen.
Mark them.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody said, well, to each his own. No, that just ain't so. And Scripture's clear. No man lives to himself. And no man dies to himself.
Exactly.
Scripture's also clear. If you're a member of one of God's local assemblies,
mm-hmm.
you have a responsibility to that local assembly.
Yes, sir.
Right? You have a responsibility to that local assembly. Not to bring shame and reproach, not on that assembly, but upon its head.
Yeah.
Our Master, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, what are you talking about? You talking about being perfect. No, I'm talking about being a repentant sinner. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes,
God didn't demand we be sinless.
Huh.
He calls on us to repent.
Yes,
don't he? Huh? Repentance is as much a serving God as faithfulness is.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Repentance is a part, just as much a part of it. It says if we say we have no sin,
yeah.
What do? We deceive ourselves, right? We say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, right?
Yeah.
He said, brethren, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and if any man sin, we have that advocate. Doesn't tell us if we confess. It doesn't tell us if we repent. These things have their proper place. These things are in the purpose of God. God's people do repent. They do confess. But bless God and thank God, it don't depend. His advocacy does not depend upon that. The reason we repent and confess is because he advocates.
Amen.
Now, here, Christ's advocacy is not there saying, Father, please remember what I did for them. Father, don't get angry. He's not there to, that's not what his advocacy is. He's there to make sure I don't go plumb over the deep end.
Yeah.
He's there to advocate for me.
Yes, sir.
For you.
Yes, sir.
That's what most people think. Christ's advocacy with God is this. Now, wait a minute, God, don't get too angry at them now.
Yeah.
Remember, they're just dust. Kind of like Christ is there holding the Father back.
Yeah.
No, according to Scripture, God loves us.
Amen.
And even when he chastens us, he is doing so out of what?
Yeah.
Love. It says he chastens every son he receives.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a glory, said brethren. Be your followers together in me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk. There's that word again, Joe. Many. Not just a few. Paul's not saying, well, there's a couple out there. No, he's saying the majority. Right? When you say many, you're speaking of a majority of some specific group. Right? Brethren, be your followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Look at it. Whose end is, I would say that might be that word there, Joe. I don't know. Whose end is destruction. Look at this next one. Whose God is their what? The belly.
Yes, sir.
I looked at it. It means the hollow. That's what it basically means. It means an empty cavity. It's sometimes spoken of or used and translated the belly. Sometimes it's translated the womb. It means a hollow cavity.
Yeah.
Notice these folks are not trying to fill the hollowness with Christ or God or His truth.
Nope.
They're not trying to fill the belly with God. Their God is their belly.
Exactly.
In other words, this, and it is a play on words, even in the Greek. Their God's their belly. They do what they do to get themselves full.
Exactly.
You remember that crowd? Christ performed miracle, made the bread, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, bread and
a
fish.
Bread and a fish. And, I mean, this great multitude followed after him. But Christ told them, here's why. Because your belly was filled.
Yeah, that's right.
Your belly's filled. Here's the problem. Here's the thing. Here's the test. What about when your belly's empty?
Yes, sir.
Will you still be following Christ?
That's it.
Hmm? What about when there is no food on the table for the belly?
Yeah.
Will you still follow Christ? See, that's the distinguishing place right there.
Yeah.
God Almighty said He does make a difference. Our Lord Jesus Christ said Himself, I come not to bring peace,
amen,
but a sword.
Right.
And He said, I'm going to divide families in two. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what He said?
Yes, sir.
This tells the tale.
Yeah.
Who is more important, Christ or your belly? Right? Their God's their belly.
Yeah.
Whose glory is in their shame. Who mind what? Earthly things. In other words, everything they are devoted to is to somehow get.
Yes, sir.
It is to have. Yes. I must have. And what, you know what? God usually gives it to them.
Mm-hmm.
He just gives it here. They consume it of their own lust. God, it said, what is it? Paul uses this phrase. I can't quote it right off the top of my head, but verse 5 of Romans 2, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. It is God who supplies all men with everything He does supply them with. Are they thankful to God for it? No, they've got to have more.
That's it.
Got to have more. And here's what is amazing. Here's what, you know, people will spend large percentages of the money they make, okay, just for trinkets and electronic toys. You know, TVs, radios, DVDs, CD players, things you stick in your ear and to listen to music, and they'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then they go to church and put a $5 bill on the plate. You know what I'm saying? Something's wrong there.
Yeah.
Right? Something means more than something else does.
Yeah.
Right? The old phrase, people say it, and I know it can be abused, but put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, that's true.
And some people probably ought to put their mouth where the money is. Be that as it may. He said, listen, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Mm.
They mind earthly things. For our conversation, now he's not talking about our speech, it's our way of life. For our conversation is, this is amazing, and I don't even know that I can, Mason, I don't know that I can describe this. Our conversation is in heaven. You see that?
Yeah.
Is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you?
Amen.
It says, to those that look for him will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But those that are not looking for him, you know how he's going to come? In judgment.
That's right.
A believer truly looks for him to come.
Yes, sir.
It's not just something they every once in a while think about when they're reminded of it by some circumstance, because Christ is all to them.
Amen.
In some manner, there is rarely any long span of time in which somehow the person and work of Christ does not come to the heart and mind of the believer. I mean, if you can go all day long and all of a sudden in the evening you think, well, you know what? I'm a believer in Jesus. Something's wrong with you. You know what I mean? Like you wake up in the morning and say, oh, that's right, I'm a believer in Christ. Then you go on about your business, you go make your money, you do your job, you meet your friends, you do all these things, come back home and say, well, I'm a believer in Christ. You see, to be a believer in Christ is a full-time thing.
It's true. Amen.
But it's not so with some folk. They're a believer in Christ when they're here, but they're not a believer in Christ when they're over here. This kind of people here Paul warning us about.
Yeah.
Huh? They're dangerous people. Why? Their God's their belly. Their glory's their shame. They mind earthly things. And their end is what? Destruction.
Exactly.
But we look for the Savior. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now here's a couple points. It may be, and I can relate to this, I can understand this thought. It may be that one of us here, someone here is thinking, but I don't know if that's the kind of faith I got or not. Well, the only way you'll find out is when it's tested.
Amen.
I'm just saying, there's nothing you can do now to make it any more sure. If you ain't got it, you ain't going to get it. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing you can do to make what God gives any more sure than what it is. Here we are at the mercy of God in the truest sense. Because David, when the trial comes, if I don't have true faith, there's nothing I can do to assure I will have it before that time happens. But no matter how weak I might feel, no matter how frail I might feel, no matter how faulty I might be, if that faith was given me of God, when that trial comes, you know what? That faith will stand there. It'll stand there.
Yeah.
Why? Because it has. We got somebody praying for it not to fail.
Amen.
Right? Our Lord said of Peter, here's an actual illustration of his advocacy.
Yeah.
Peter, you're going to deny me. Right? You're going to curse and swear.
Yes.
He didn't just keep his mouth shut, Joe.
Yeah.
He didn't just turn his back and walk away or something. Oh. Ellen, he cursed and swore. I don't know the so-and-so. That's of his Lord.
Yeah.
Yet we know that even before that happened, our Lord warned him it's going to happen. He said, but Peter, I prayed for you.
Amen.
And I prayed for you that your faith fail not.
Yeah.
And I've said this many times, but a lot of people just don't get it. Well, oh, but I failed so miserably. Yes, you will fail miserably. You will sin. You will mess up.
Yeah.
But if you have the faith of God's elect, it won't fail.
Exactly.
You may fail, but it won't fail.
Yeah,
it'll still be right there. Once you're recovered by the grace and mercy of God, once he lifts you back up, you'll realize faith was there all the time. That faith stayed there. I might not have stood firm, Mason, but bless God, that faith God gave me did.
Amen.
Huh? My actions may be very faulty, even sinful. Huh? Christ said it, and I believe, as our advocate, he prays for us the same way. I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not. Oh, what it is to hear the word of God and do what? To pay attention to it. Right? Think of it. To be cautious about it.
Yes.
to be serious about it, to apply oneself to it, to adhere to it. And you know what? I see these people, and it's almost like, well, I've got to serve Christ today. You know, if that's the way you feel about it, you might as well quit. Get in some other profession of faith. Because if serving Christ is that kind of drudgery to you, you don't know the joy and the glory of the Christ of God Almighty. You have not seen the glory of God as it is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ said about his burden, his yoke, it's light,
yes, sir,
and it's easy.
Amen.
And you know what he said? And any true believer can attest to that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's a joy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear these preachers preaching. They're always needing revival. I may have mentioned this before. They're always, you know, these churches always need revival.
Yeah.
We don't need revival. We just need some strengthening.
Amen.
We need some encouragement. No. You know, you hear them preach, and it's like, our church is a blessed mess. We need revival. You know?
Oh, yeah.
They're always talking about what pitiful state the church is. And I'm thinking, well, bless God, I'm glad I'm not a part of them. They're in bad shape,
yeah.
Right? Every time you turn around, we need revival. Church is such, the world and the church, both of them in pitiful state. You know why? Because their church is the world.
Exactly.
That's why it's in such a blessed, pitiful state.
Yes, sir.
They have filled their so-called churches with unregenerate people,
yeah,
who've made decisions for Jesus but do not really care about the Christ of God.
Exactly.
The thing about it is, when it comes to the truth, we don't have to do the weeding. God will do the weeding. God will weed them out.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
If you're here and you shouldn't be, God's going to remove you.
Yeah.
That includes me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And if there's somebody that's not here and they should be, they will be.
Amen.
They'll show up. Father, I pray that you bless us all together in thy Son. Stay our hearts and minds on him. And truly therein will we find peace and joy and stability and order amidst all the chaos. I think in Christ's name, amen.